freight efficiency with NACFI's Mike Roth and friends.
Today we have joining me Elizabeth Fratheim. She's head of business development and national accounts for Nikola. And we've been friends a long time, probably back to my days at Navistar and yours at Walmart. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I was thinking about it. I think we met in 2009, believe it or not, at that RMI charrette. So it has been a long time.
Yeah, it has. So, yeah, it's a lot's gone on since then. So it was about a year ago that in my travels, I found myself in Phoenix, actually to attend Nikola World 2019. And met with you, which at that time was the, you know, kind of the new headquarters. So, boy, that maybe seems a lot more than a year ago, but how's it been since? And what's it been like moving to both to a new company after a long time at Walmart and also to a new city?
You know, in some ways it feels like it's been, 10 years, and in other ways, I can't believe it's been a year. So, so much has happened, moving to a new city obviously was a change, but it's been great. I have to say I might be more of a big city girl. So, it's been nice. I am learning though that too hot does exist, having grown up in Canada. Having grown up in Canada and people said someplace was too hot, I was, I'm like, I'm not sure I quite understand that. I do understand too cold, but, it's been exciting. It's obviously even, changing to Nikola, going from the biggest company in the world to a startup is definitely a shift. But to be involved with a company that is, passionate about what I've wanted to do in my career, which is transform transportation to zero emission, and to get to be involved in that full time and in such a big way has been fantastic. And I'm surrounded by people that are very mission driven or passionate about what we're doing, intelligent. So it's exciting, very motivating.
Yeah, I kind of get that. I mean, 10 years ago I made the move from Navistar, helping start and lead this North American Council for Freight Efficiency, and then having worked with, really passionate, smart people at the Carbon War Room and Rocky Mountain Institute. I get that culture and that drive, and here we're really at a an important time in the trucking industry. Where we've got these, we'll get into to some details here in a minute, but it really does feel like we'll look back at 2020 and say, not only did we have this pandemic we were working through, but that was sort of the beginning of a pretty big change. You mentioned a little bit about the culture, and we've all been watching the announcements with items like Nikola going public to many of us watched the tour of the headquarters as it was being built and so forth. So, it's got to be very exciting inside the company as we've seen it from the outside. So could you just talk a little bit about the culture that's emerging everywhere from, top leadership down, and how is it going hiring talent and bringing them in and getting them focused?
It's been a crazy year, but it's been an awesome year with everything going on. And maybe I'll start with the culture, which was your first part of your question there, because I think it's so important, as we dive down into the people and hiring and that type of thing. As you think about, going public, of course, before, like I said, we have this, talented, passionate group of individuals that are working towards, what we felt individually and as a company was exciting and important and motivating. And then, when you saw the success of the merger and us going public, it brought some obviously additional excitement and motivation and validation of our mission. I think globally, whether it's obviously the pandemic has focused some people on, reducing emissions through that, but there's definitely a new sense of urgency, right? We're a part of something bigger now. And so you feel that urgency, you feel, you know, almost an accountability. You know, we obviously want to make this happen. You know, now it's, you know, we need to make this happen. And that's exciting and it's motivating. You know, and I think it really drives, extra creative juices. And so, you know, just seeing that excitement in all of our employees has been fantastic. You know, if I can make a plug, we need more good people. You know, and there's lots of people wanting to come and work for us, which is exciting because we have, you know, a ton to do. But finding the right fit is very important. So we are trying to take our time to find the people with, you know, not only the right skill set, but the right culture, the right excitement, the right passion, you know, to make this happen.
And I think what we've been seeing, or at least those of us that have been working a little bit with Nicola, but also you know, watching the public announcements, is you're not shy to tell the story publicly and make commitments. So, you know, I've got a few of those commitments I'd like to ask you about. I mean, the first one is the looks like the first production trucks will come out of a new plant in Germany, and that's the you know, the Tray. So can you walk us through the timing of that, your partners there? And I mean, that first truck, I believe, will be battery electric only, with fuel cells later. Do I have that right? And can you just walk us through the European plans? Because that'll be first, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as you know, last summer we formed a partnership with Iveco, who is part of the CNHI or Case New Holland family. And we are so excited about that. You know, it's been a match made in heaven, basically. They've been awesome partners. And as you see us move forward, you know, a simple way that I try to describe that partnership to other people is, you know, Iveco is the bones and we're the guts. And so it's been awesome to be able to leverage, you know, the foundations of their trucks, the chassis, the cabs, as well as their experience, and expertise as we try to move forward. And, you know, whenever you first forge a relationship, there's always bumps, you know, especially when you kind of meld those cultures, like we talked about, you know, before, kind of being, you know, the established company with the startup. But I think we've really hit a rhythm of process and momentum that's going to push us forward. And so, you know, the plant, as you know, Iveco is a global manufacturer, and so they have plants around Europe, and we're going to be leveraging the one in Germany, in Ulm, Germany, to build our first battery electric trucks. And so right now they're doing retrofits and putting in some new equipment to be able to do that. We have some trucks being built right now, and so that's been very exciting to see that happen. And, you know, we're excited to kind of get into a rhythm there of where they're coming off the assembly line and ready for customers.
That's fantastic. You know, in the United States, we've had basically six truck builders for a couple of decades now. And, you know, building a commercial truck is not an easy task. So it sure seems like from the initial, you know, relationship with Bosch to now this, you know, relationship with Iveco in particular to help with the manufacturing expertise and some of the common parts like tabs and so forth. You know, just a really smart choice to not try to take on too much yourself, but use others in the process.
Oh, absolutely. We've been, you know, very lucky to have, you know, companies like Bosch, like Iveco, like Hanwha, Meritor, you know, Wabco. We've had, you know, some of these just world-class partners engage with us. And many of them are, you know, they're not only partners, but they're investors. And so again, just kind of going back to where you're seeing the momentum, you know, in the industry and in the world to transform transportation for the better. It's just, you know, it's exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah, and so now we've got the groundbreaking in the U.S. for your U.S. plant in outside of Phoenix, and you know, that's imminent. So can you walk us through what, you know, what are the plans for that plant? How big is it? What will it do? Maybe a little bit about its timing going forward as to when we could expect some of the first trucks to come off the assembly line in the U.S.
So we are, you know, like you said, we're breaking ground. It's Coolidge, Arizona, which for those who aren't sure where that is, it's just kind of southeast of Phoenix. We have about 430 acres there. The plants will be up to 1 million square feet. And we're targeting about a 12-month build. So the plan is to have trucks coming off the assembly line there in 2023. So it's an exciting time, you know, being able to see that come to fruition is, I think that's kind of the dream for a lot of us, is to, you know, that's what you don't want these trucks to be science projects. You want them to be real and practical and out on the road. So being able to see, you know, an assembly line of them, it's a dream for many of us.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, every step along the way is progress, but, you know, until the trucks move in real freight on railroads for real customers, it's still, you know, it's still kind of talk. So yeah, I totally get that. And, maybe I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have the, you know, a sequence of battery electric versus fuel cell electric, you know, the tray versus the other product, or is all that yet to be figured out as you work the marketplace for what's needed first?
So not putting me on the spot, so that's just fine. So the first truck that we're going to have will be the battery electric tray. Then we'll move to the fuel cell. And maybe just, you know, a quick background on the two technologies, whether you're talking about a battery electric truck or a fuel cell electric truck, it's still an electric drivetrain and pretty much an identical drivetrain. So it's just how you're storing the energy or generating the energy is where the difference is. And so once we had developed that electric drivetrain, it was easy for us to put, in quotes, easy. The engineers will kill me for saying that, but but I'm not an engineer, so it seems easy from my standpoint, right? But we were able to put connect the batteries to that drivetrain a little bit faster than we could with fuel cells. With fuel cells being, you know, a little bit newer technology, there's just some things in that development path that we, you know, can't speed up. And with batteries kind of, you know, already being out there, it was a little bit easy. And I hate using that. I need to stop using that word easy. but to be able to do that. So the first truck will be the battery electric tray. And then following that will be the fuel cell.
So we could kind of consider that to be powertrain options within the same truck.
Yeah, pretty much. Of course, you know, it's a lot different when it comes to the infrastructure. But yeah, you know, that's been something we've been trying to educate, you know, in particular the regulators and the government on, is that these are electric trucks. Because as they think about zero emission vehicles, their mind is pretty much focused on battery electric trucks. And so we've been trying to educate them to kind of broaden that to zero emission. And recognize that really fuel cell trucks are electric trucks. We're just, like I said, storing the energy differently.
Right. And as McAfee's written in our reports around, you know, electric trucks, a lot of this is really fairly mature. I mean, it's to the point of maturity that we're ready to go with the first generation of electric trucks or fuel cell trucks. But we do expect a lot of improvement. We've seen bunch of announcements from, you know, manufacturers, as well as folks like the Department of Energy on battery chemistries. So I was intrigued, you know, a few weeks ago, and literally everybody is kind of asking, you know, at what mileage range will that battery truck be impractical and move to a fuel cell? That's kind of the question that seems to pop up in the media at least once a week, if not every day. But I noticed Nikola started talking about 300 miles as kind of a, you know, a place where, you know, under 300 miles, maybe a battery electric truck's more practical because it's a little simpler powertrain and a little, you know, using the energy more directly, and over 300 might. So is that true that you've kind of at least made a stand you know, in the short term here, and we'll see where the technologies go down the road. Do I have that right?
Yeah, and I think what you just said at the end there is important, that we need to look at how technology develops, and not only in the truck, but also on the infrastructure side. And so, you know, I wouldn't say it's as simplistic to say, you know, if your range is under 300 miles, go battery. If it's over, go fuel cell. But that is, you know, kind of based on where technology is at the time. That's kind of what we say in general. But as you know, and as we were, you know, working on, you know, the phase one, and a truck is in the truck, it's the duty cycle is important. You know, what I kind of say, so if you're under 300 miles, probably look at battery first. If you're over 300 miles, or if you have a heavy payload, or let's say you're slip seating, you know, you're double seating your truck, then fuel cells may be a better option. So you think of, as an example, you know, a Porsche or Dray company duty cycle or mission, you know, they're driving fairly short hauls, you know, sometimes just 5 or 10 miles, sometimes 60 miles, but still shorter hauls. But those trucks are going 20 hours a day. And so for them, even though it's a shorter length of haul, they don't have time to stop and recharge for several hours. Something like a fuel cell truck, you know, maybe is a better option. You know, we want to work with our customers, understand their duty cycle, and, you know, choose the right technology from there.
And the futurist in me says, you know, there could be, you know, highly automated, if not self-driving trucks down the road that are, you know, basically available 24/7 to drive. And so how we keep those, you know, replenished and so forth. A couple more questions, two final questions. One is around the cab over versus a conventional truck in the United States. I mean, Walmart, ironically, was one of the last users of cab overs 15, 20 years ago. And I noticed now that, you know, the Tray is pretty much a cab over, where much of the world's cab overs in the U.S. are these you know, zero emission trucks, ones, and that might just bring U.S. trucking back to capital, or some linkage, or none there. Or...
You know, we didn't necessarily pick, you know, a cab over because it's zero emission, although, you know, it will be a good way for the truck to stand out, certainly. But it was interesting when we brought a lot of the leading fleets to our headquarters to talk about our technology and to hear from them, you know, what are they looking for in this technology? A lot of them were quite interested in the cab over because, you know, especially as you think about a battery electric duty cycle where you're stop and go, you're in urban environments, you know, maybe tighter places, having that kind of shorter wheelbase was of interest. And the other thing to point out is, you know, these aren't the cab overs that you remember from 15, 20 years ago, right? Like, so what we're building on, it doesn't have that huge doghouse, for example, that I know a lot of the drivers didn't like. It's spacious, it's roomy, the drivers can stand up in the cab. You're also not sitting on top of a rumbling, vibrating, smelly diesel engine.
Right.
And you talked about the autonomous capabilities, or even in the short term, the ADAS capabilities, which should make these trucks, you know, safer. So we think the drivers are actually going to really, really like these trucks.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So we always run out of time too quickly, but, you know, thanks for being on. But before we go, you know, there's a lot of interest in these topics, and I'm really intrigued and sometimes surprised about how many people are watching and wanting to be involved in, you know, this transformation of trucking, whether it's people who, like you and I, have been in a long time, or those that are seeing it as a big opportunity. So given that diversity of people that might be listening to this or wanting to work on trucking, you know, kind of what's your one piece of advice, or what would you want us all to sort of do, Elizabeth?
You know, I feel like I've been on this bandwagon for a long time, and so I hate to be unoriginal with this, but collaboration is so, so important. You know, I just think we need to think more broadly and deeply about partnering, and even in sometimes in a pre-competitive sense, right? But this is a massive transformation that has so many complex tentacles to it that we really need to work together to make sure that we're transforming in the right way that makes sense for the planet and for business. So make sure that you're reaching out to your suppliers, you're reaching out to your peers in the industry, you're reaching out to regulators, and working together to make this happen in the right way.
That's great advice. I mean, we've got, it's not like we have only one shot to do it, but it is very complex with the infrastructure needed, the communities, the utilities, the trucks, the builders. It is important for us to work together and get it pretty right as we move along, because we don't have the time or the ability to do it over too many times. Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth. It's been great talking to you. Best of luck. And we'll be around to help you out.
Thanks so much, Mike. Always appreciate the opportunity to chat with you.
Freight Efficiency with NACFI's Mike Rothenfrantz.